Welcome to Total Retail Talks, your podcast channel for retail knowledge.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Total Retail Talks. I'm Joe Keenan, the editor-in-chief of Total Retail. Pleased to be joined on this episode by Elizabeth Price, who is the global chief marketing officer of the Anthropologie Group. Elizabeth and I are going to talk a little bit about that brand and some of the marketing strategies it has in place, as well as what it is expecting for 2024, and a little bit about its customers and some of the exciting things that are to come. So I want to welcome you to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So to get us started in the conversation, I'd love to have you tell us a little bit about the marketing approach at Anthropologie over the last, 12 months or so. And as you think about that, what that approach looks like for 2024 as well.
So I think that one of the things that's very special about Anthropologie is that our customers consistently for many, many years talked about this being their happy place. Whenever they talk about Anthropologie, it's the discovery zone. Oh my gosh, I go into the store and I lose myself. I love to discover all the new items. I love to try on new things. And that has always been sort of the core of what our brand is about. It's truly about being this moment of discovery and excitement. And I think that as our consumers have evolved, one of the things that we at Anthropologie pride ourselves on is trying to meet the consumer where they are, both physically as well as emotionally, wherever that might be. And our stores have been a great example of that. But as we have also recognized that many, many, many customers want to have that same sense of discovery and exploration in a digital sense. So we have over the past couple of years, this actually started a few years ago, definitely kept prioritizing our stores. Our stores are still very important to us, but we are also then overlaying that with a digital experience that we hope also brings that sense of discovery, that sense of excitement to our customers, both our existing customers as well as new customers.
We're going to talk a little bit about kind of those existing customers, but also as you think about customer acquisition and getting new customers into the Anthropologie brand. But first, follow up on that and kind of that omnichannel nature of the consumer that you're seeing. Are you finding that there's a lot of overlap for customers that are kind of learning about and kind of engaging with Anthropologie digitally first and then maybe coming into stores or, and kind of that overlap in behavior and kind of cross-channel in nature?
Yeah, great question. It's funny. We take a pulse of our customers, both the customers we have, and then we also do some additional research of customers we don't have yet. But for those who do join our brand, especially our new customers, we ask them sort of, how did you first hear about us? And I think historically, a lot of the responses were pretty much consistently, I heard about you because I was walking by a store and the store windows excited me, the store excited me, and I had it pop in. And now we are hearing more and more often that I've heard about you through an influencer. I've heard about you through a friend. I heard about you through on Instagram, on TikTok. So more and more customers are learning about us in a digital sense than ever have been before. And that allows us not to necessarily walk away from our physical experience, but rather use that digital experience as a complement to the physical and the physical to the digital.
So that's a kind of a good segue into the conversation around customer acquisition as you get new customers, particularly younger shoppers, as you think about engaging some of those younger shoppers potentially digitally first, as we're talking about through influencers and some of the other channels. But you also want to kind of stay true to your loyal existing customers. You don't want to leave them behind either. So how do you kind of manage that balance between new customer acquisition, but also keeping that existing loyal customer in mind as well?
Yeah, I will start by saying that we are so incredibly fortunate that we have literally millions of customers who are so enamored by our brand and are excited by our brand. And they truly make this be, they think of Anthropologie as like one of their favorite brands of all time. I've mentioned this before, but, when I joined the brand just over 4 years ago, and I updated my LinkedIn, as one does, I was floored by the literally thousands and thousands of customers and thousands of people who said this was their favorite brand of all time. And from a marketing perspective, and for a marketer, that's probably the best thing you could possibly hope for, is joining a brand that already has this built-in love and affection. And then my job as a marketer becomes, how do I build that brand love, build on that brand love, and build that brand love to many, many more customers? So in the last few years, we've definitely had a much more aggressive position on trying to acquire new customers without alienating our current customers. I'm happy to share that, you know, we have done this and done this successfully. Our total customer base is growing. Our new customer base is growing at a faster rate. And that's, you know, general numbers over the past couple of years, but it continues. And we're feeling really good about that. I think the important part to this is that it can't be a marketing initiative. It's actually a company initiative. So the marketing is the marketing plus the product, plus our assets and our creative, plus our experience, whether it be in-store or digital. All of those have to work in unison. Because if any one of those is not actually prioritizing, trying to reach and connect with the younger consumer, then the whole strategy falls flat. So if I had a fantastic marketing and fantastic media plans, et cetera, but I didn't have the right product, the younger customer is not going to convert. If I had great product and I had great media and media plans, but I didn't have really great content and great assets to actually serve up to that young customer, they're not going to convert. So it really is not a marketing initiative as much as it is actually an Anthropologie company initiative for us to actually go and seek and win over more younger customers.
Yeah, it's that holistic experience, right? It's not one piece of the equation. You have to have it all buttoned up and ready to execute upon. So let's talk about what that balance then potentially looks like. And, you know, we'll stick to marketing for this one in terms of how you're engaging consumers, those existing customers, and how you've kept up that relationship, but also those new shoppers as well that are coming into the fold. Have you evolved in terms of where you're leaning into in terms of marketing channels versus maybe pulling back in others? I'd love to kind of get an idea of what that looks like for Anthropologie.
I would say that we haven't necessarily dropped any media channels. It's more about what the balance is of those media channels. And then on top of that, we definitely have added, as is necessary in today's environment, we definitely have added more channels and platforms. So in the old world, I would say it was pretty linear. You had, you know, a product that you're marketing with a ad with a model in a publication. You know, that was a pretty linear approach. And today, you know, marketing a launch, marketing a campaign, marketing a new product might require multiple different types of assets and formats across multiple different platforms. And even the talent themselves might be very different. In the old world, it might have been a model or possibly a celebrity. And in the new world, it's the celebrity next door as an influencer, or it could be an A-list celebrity, or it could be a model. It could be any and all of the above. So I think the range of mediums has definitely gotten more complex. But I think on the flip side, that's actually made it quite fun as a marketer, because you can tell different kinds of stories through different platforms to actually have your story resonate with more customers more relevantly.
Yeah, there's a variety to the approach where, you know, that might not have been present for a lot of brands previously. I want to give you the opportunity, Elizabeth, to talk about a couple different recent campaigns from Anthropologie. One was Falling for Anthropologie, and the second being Making Merry. I know these were two campaigns that you worked on. Tell us a little bit about why you believe they resonated with your audience.
I'll start with Falling for Anthro. Falling for Anthro was our beginning kickoff of fall for last year. Started in quarter three in August. And the purpose of Falling for Anthro was really about how do we establish Anthropologie in a much more authoritative way as a fashion leader to kick off the fall season. You know, it's a big fashion time of year. It's back to school, back to fashion. It's a great time of year. And we really wanted to come out in a much stronger way to be that destination for your fashion needs for fall. And I think the reason for this, and if I go back to how we started this whole campaign, we started this campaign, again, back to what I said earlier, of making sure this is an effort across the entire brand and not just a marketing effort. We partnered early on with our creative partners and said, okay, what would it take to make this be exciting and make this cut through? You know, and then we worked with our merchant partners to say, okay, what are the themes or the styles we want to make sure are going to resonate? And all of it together basically was an approach and was a launch that was far more fashion forward for us. We used a celebrity actress, Phoebe Tonkin. She had a huge following on various social platforms. She actually had a new show coming out later that fall. We had a range of influencers and a range of talent that we were working on to help complement her as like that celebrity. We had a range of assets and a range of content pieces that were out across multiple different channels and platforms. We had a TikTok takeover that we'd never done before. We had a lot of different things running all at the same time and then building over time. So it wasn't just like a one and done. It was building over the course of multiple weeks to really get that enthusiasm around the brand. And as a result of all that, we definitely did see the number of impressions double. And the number of customers that we brought in significantly improved prior to already a solid positive first half of the year. And then the customers that were coming in were also younger. So we really did hit on all of the goals that we were going for, which was increase our share of mind space, share of screen share, if you will, increase the number of customers who found us relevant, and then actually increase the number of those customers who actually finally converted and were now part of our Anthropology fold.
That's great. That's a great overview of that campaign and why it was successful and how it kind of worked out. I know you had one probably closer to the holidays, the Making Merry campaign. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that one as well, Elizabeth?
Yeah, well, Making Merry is, you know, if there's one magic moment of our store, I would say it's holiday. And the holiday season, there is no other store like Anthropologie for the holidays. The decor, the way we actually dress up our stores, the themes behind it. And this year it was almost walking into a French patisserie shop, Making Merry, sort of playing on, you know, to make merry as well as making and the confections of Making Merry. So though that was the theme to start with. And then truly we wanted to reinforce the fact that Anthropologie really is that place of joyfulness. And we want to always be that place of escapism, but also place of happiness. And if we all hear one thing over and over, people say, it's my happy place. This is where I go. And this is where I feel my most happy. And if I'm having a bad day, I go to Anthropologie. We hear that all the time. So the whole campaign of Making Merry was really trying to tap into that element. What we did differently this year than we've done in prior years was that we actually took that concept of how do we connect with our customers and how do we meet our customers where they are. In this case, we did a Pinterest open house in Brooklyn. We took over a townhouse in Brooklyn and we decked it out for the holidays. And it was a way of sort of bringing that experiential element of what the holidays could look like in a Brooklyn Heights neighborhood and how we could between our own brand of Anthropologie Home as well as Terrain, which is our garden and an outdoor brand, how could we actually take over that house and make it feel a little bit different? And, you know, it was a fantastic experience. Customers were waiting in line to get in. They got to see all of our products sort of in situ to make merry even outside of our four walls of a store.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you as a follow-up is you know, you talk about the physical experience. How do you kind of try to replicate that in the digital realm as you know, specific to that Making Merry campaign or just year round as you know, because that in-store experience is so critical to the brand and it's such a great experience for the shopper. It's probably a little more challenging to get that replicated online. What do you think about that?
Well, we definitely take a lot of care in making sure that we're telling our stories in bold ways on our digital platforms. But I think the other thing that is really, really important is that we as a brand can try to tell our story. But I think that we as a brand also need to be a conduit for our own customers telling the story of Anthropologie. So when you think about it, the number of people who can share their love of Anthropologie is far more than just me or my marketing team or even all of Anthropologie. It's really every single customer who becomes part of our brand, whether it be a first-time visitor or you know, a many-year loyalist, they can be advocates and they can be ambassadors, whether official or unofficial advocates of the brand. So how do we use their experiences? How can we platform their experiences and make sure that we're connecting with people not only as a brand, but also through other people? I often say that people trust other people more than they trust brands. So if I can actually tap into and leverage our range of ambassadors, our range of content content creators who work for us and love working with us, then that becomes another way for people to connect with the brand.
You talk about telling the brand story, and that's so critical kind of in the context of what you're doing with the marketing at our Anthropologie. Another thing that, you know, is critical as you talk about the evolving consumers, that their expectations continue to rise and they expect that the brands that they frequent, that they know them and they're able to kind of personalize their experiences. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing in that regard at Anthropologie, and particularly as we move forward in this increasingly data protected environment, the deprecation of third party cookies being one example of that. Consumers are obviously very, and rightfully so, protective of their own customer data, but they also want their experience to be personalized. So it's a challenge. So tell us a little bit about how you think about that at Anthropologie.
You know, we are very, very fortunate that we've had a very long-standing business that has had even from early days, a direct-to-consumer side of the business. It's really part of our DNA of how do we connect with our consumers and connect with our consumers beyond just the in-store experience. So that has allowed us to build a very, very data-rich data set on our customers. And that's almost like the pipes that we use to then tell the stories. So I would say that we as a company would not consider ourselves data-led. We are not. I would say that that's probably not true. What I would say is true is that we are creativity-led and that we're data-informed. And then with that, we're consumer-inspired. So I think that's a very important element because as a company, our data should help tell our creative stories. And luckily, we all take very good care, A, of the data itself, and B, of course, of our customers. But it's the data that helps us tell the best stories. So how we use it is personalization of emails, personalization of social, you know, what social posts are being boosted against what consumer sets. All of that information, how do we prioritize and how do we tier the customers who are served up ads across our digital platforms? All of that becomes informing in good information to inform our media strategies. But data, by definition, is historical. Yes, you can do predictive, and yes, I'm not suggesting you can't do that, but at the same time, the best data you have is the data that where someone's already proven to do something, and how do you then lean into that experience even further? And in the world of what we serve up, which is a lot of exploration, discovery, they may not even know what they want yet. So we have to actually use that creativity arm coupled with data to then make the perfect formula of giving an experience unlike any other experience they could find elsewhere.
So my final question for you, Elizabeth, on kind of the same track as we think about consumer behavior as we record this in the, you know, it's the second week in February, still very much the beginning of the year. Is there a particular behavior or trend that you're seeing or you're targeting? And this could be at Anthropologie, but also could be things that you're seeing just in the consumer landscape that you are well positioned to capitalize on in Anthropologie or that you're kind of put a bullseye on in terms of what you and your marketing team are looking at for this year.
You know, we talk about this a lot. There definitely has been over the past several years, and I think it accelerated with COVID, is this more casualization of society. The entertaining at home and the more casual dressing that's going on, the hybrid work environment. The same idea of, you know, in not very long ago, having a proper work clothes and then casual clothes, that is a much more grayed environment now. And there's a lot more migration between your work wardrobe and your casual wardrobe today. So as we think about where is that opportunity for Anthropologie? We are still proudly fashion forward. We're still proudly, we want to bring the best of the trends, the best of the fashion to our customers. But as we think about where that opportunity exists for Anthropologie, it's customers have always thought of us for those special days in their lives, always, whether it be a wedding day, whether it be a graduation day, whether it be a, you know, night out, date night, whether it be night out with the girlfriends. They always come to us for those special occasions. But what we think is an opportunity and where we think we can win and win more is how do we become that place for those everydays? So they already know for us for special days, but how do we also become their favorite and their preferred destination for their everydays?
Can you talk about the level of collaboration as you talk, you know, thinking about through some of those trends? Obviously, the merchant team needs to be involved as you think about product and how you're collaborating. And it's probably an ongoing continual conversation with across the organization as to what you're seeing in the marketplace and then how that impacts, you know, individual departments and how you pull that all together in kind of a seamless manner.
I mean, I will say I've never been happier in any role in my entire career. I love the job I have. I love the team I have. I love my colleagues that I get to work with. And I think the reason is because we're all very committed for driving growth. We're all very committed on, and when I say growth, I don't only mean like top line sales and bottom line margin. Of course, you know, we're committed to that too, but we see the opportunity being giving more brand love, sharing more brand love with more customers more often. And that is something that every single one of us in the organization is committed to. Whether you talk to your home team, whether you talk to your apparel team, there are more ways that we can actually not just, you know, quote unquote, own more share of her wardrobe, but we can actually infuse love into more share of her wardrobe and their homes. So I think that is an opportunity. And that's one where it is absolutely positively, it is, once again, it's not a marketing a marketing or strategic marketing objective. It's not a merchant objective. It's an anthropology objective. And it's one that we're super excited for. It's one that we get excited to share ideas with one another. And the ideas could be merchant ideas coming from the marketing team. They could be marketing ideas coming from the merchant team. It's okay. It's if it's going to better all of anthropology and bring more brand love to more customers, then it's a win for everybody.
I think that sums it up perfectly. I want to take the opportunity to thank Elizabeth Price, who again is the Global Chief Marketing Officer of the Anthropology Group, for joining us on this episode of Total Retail Talks. Thank you, Elizabeth. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. For more information on this podcast, please check out our podcast channel page at mytotalretail.com/podcasts for show notes. Total Retail Talks is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Make sure to subscribe on our podcast channel page as well. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a few moments to rate and review this podcast. Thanks, and until next time, this has been Total Retail Talks.